I do hope that you are living into the reality of the truth in that song, just in the power of the name of Jesus and how that he can transform all of life. I think sometimes we get caught up in the mundane, right? We get caught up in just coming to church and singing, and it's all just so familiar to us that we can miss really life lived in the powerful name of Jesus. And I hope that I hope today you're experiencing that life. It's yours to live, right? He didn't want heaven without us, so he sent heaven down so that you and I could have life in Christ and live in the powerful name of Jesus. And I hope you're living into that reality and experiencing the joy that comes with it in spite of the circumstances in our lives. If you have your Bible, let's grab them and turn to Ephesians. Ephesians chapters 5 and 6 will be the end of 5 and the first part of 6. If you don't have a Bible, there's some on a cart. I hope you'll grab one when you came in and grab your iPad or phone and read along. We want you in the Word of God, and don't take my word for it. Read along with us and study it for yourselves. But we'll be kind of coming to the close of this letter that we've been in for some time. We've been in Ephesians, this letter that Paul wrote to the church at Ephesus. It's got tons of practical things for us as we look at what it means to live into the newfound identity that we have in Christ. We just sang about this identity of who we are in Christ and what it means and how it really does impact all of life. And we've been looking specifically at how it should impact the relationships that we have in our lives, whether it's our spouse, and today we're looking at our children, but Paul's just been walking through some imperatives of some things that we ought to do in our relationships with one another. And we, again, the first half of the book, just a lot of theology and a lot of identity in Christ and who you are. And then he turns and says, now here's what that looks like. And in this context, Paul's giving them some new information, specifically when it comes to how families were to relate. It was a new day. It was new information. Things didn't look anything like they do for us. Some of the things we read in here, it's kind of common sense to us. Yes, I should love my wife. I should respect my wife. I should honor my wife. I should treat my husband this way. My children should act this way. But in his context, it was new information. And he's just helping them understand, here's what it looks like to be in Christ and how being a child or a daughter or a son of the king and being part of the family of God, how that transforms really all of these relationships. And I know that anytime we talk about relationships that we have in our lives, there's really an ideal, and then there's what's real, right? So anytime you talk about a relationship with your spouse or a relationship in a marriage or relationship with your children, there's the ideal, there's what we all hope for. There's the ideal relationship. There's the ideal marriage where the husband loves the wife unconditionally, and it creates this mutual submission in the marriage and submission in the marriage, and there's this, you know, it creates, and the parents lead well. They lead like Christ. They serve like Christ, and the kids just act as they should. They obey. They honor their parents. There's this ideal scenario, right? And then there's reality. And we long for the ideal, and when we come to passages where we read things like submit to one another and wives submit to your husbands and husbands love your wives as Christ loved the church and husbands love your wives as yourselves and wives respect your husband and today children obey and honor your parents and fathers don't exasperate your children. All of these statements and these ideal scenarios, what we face in reality is not necessarily this. What we experience due to the circumstances in our lives don't always lead us to these things. Because all of us have scenarios, have circumstances in our life that prevent us or make it very difficult to live into some truths that we would all love to embrace and realize in our lives. I mean, when we say things like even the word father is not an emotionally neutral word, is it? It's not really emotionally neutral for anyone. There's some emotions tied to that. It could be love. It could be laughter. It could be hatred. It could be bitterness. It could be anger, resentment. A number of things might come to your mind when you think about your relationship with your father or your mother or your spouse or an ex or your parents. I mean, there's all sorts of emotions that come to our mind and come into our hearts when we think about these relationships. It's what he did or what she has done or what, you know, how you were raised or how she was raised or something that dad did or mom did or a sibling did or children have done or are doing that create a world of emotions. And so there's this ideal relationship that we desire, this ideal reality that we would love to live into. But then there's the circumstances of life and our past and our present situations and our personalities and all these other things that really play into these relationships that cause, again, a number of emotions when it comes to talking about the family. And as we read these statements, I'm fully aware that we all respond to them differently. While we would love to for them to be true of ourselves and true of the people around us, there's always things that hinder us from being able to live into the life and the preferred future that God has for us. We've really tried to live under the umbrella of verse 21 as we've this overarching principle of submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. We started there. And when you come into this section, that really is the overarching principle, right? That we are to submit to one another in these relationships out of reverence for Christ, submitting to one another, loving one another. And that's the overarching principle. But then we come into some practical application in that. And what we tried to do is we gave you an example of Jesus. One of the most challenging, most beautiful, most transforming verses in all of Scripture happens to be also the most challenging. It's found in Philippians 2. We looked at Christ, and in Philippians 2 we find this example. It says this in Philippians 2:3, "Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than ourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interest, but also to the interest of others, having this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking on the form of a servant, becoming born in the likeness of man." God becoming flesh, God taking on the form of a servant and coming and wrapping himself in humanity and loving and serving. And then he challenges us to do the same, to live and to put the needs of others before ourselves. I don't know about you, but I prefer to be selfish, right? Like, I tend to think about myself first. It's just the way I'm wired, and we're challenged, and we see this wonderful example of Christ. But the question we have to wrestle with is, will we be servants? Like, will we serve or will we be selfish? Will we serve or will we be selfish? And again, I prefer the latter. I prefer to be selfish. I think about myself. I want what I want. It's usually about me and my needs. And so when it comes to serving my wife and my children, when it comes to serving the needs of others, even those very close to me, even those that I love dearly, it's difficult to do, isn't it? It's that sin nature in us. It makes it difficult to put the needs of others and to consider others' needs before our own and to learn to serve one another. But I think that we would all agree that anyone in a life that seeks to honor Christ, if we seek to honor Christ, will first grow or will grow to honor others. A life that honors Christ first, right? A life that honors out of reverence for Christ, honors Christ first, will grow to honor others. We're not there yet. But are we striving, are we growing to honor and to love and to serve others? Or are we continuing to be selfish and are we not growing up in what that looks like to serve others? A life that honors Christ first will grow to honor the others. And it would be so much easier in an ideal world, wouldn't it? I mean, it would be so much easier to honor others and to grow to honor others if everyone was perfect. If there were no imperfect people, there was no hurt, no pain, no past, no circumstances, no personality issues. If we lived in an ideal world, in an ideal scenario, maybe it would make this a little easier. But the reality is there are no perfect people. While we strive to be like Christ, we've said each week that we're not Christ. We're not there yet. And so living into these relationships and engaging in these relationships in a way that is reflective of Scripture and honoring to God and truly does serve as revering Christ, as we're called to do, is difficult. We've seen that in all of this text. And then today we come to chapter 6 where we talk a little bit about children and what their relationship to their parents should look like. Ephesians chapter 6 verse 1, he says this, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may live long on the earth." Children, obey your parents. Now, the last several weeks, I've kind of picked on husbands and wives and that relationships, and kids have kind of got a break. And today we've got to turn to the kids. And it would be easy, certainly in our context, to just skip over this and say, well, do we really need to talk about this? Isn't it kind of a given that kids ought to obey their parents and honor their parents? And why do we need to spend some time in a text like this? And it's maybe a little old-fashioned to think about these kinds of things, but I think it's critical for a few reasons. One, the obvious reason you don't just skip over these kinds of things is because it's in Scripture. Like, Paul put them there 2,000 years ago, and they're still there for us to read, and they still have relevance to our lives. While it's difficult to talk about the family, while it's difficult to bring that up in conversation because of circumstances and the hardships of life and relational issues, it is relevant to where we're at. While it's challenging, it is still relevant, and so it may seem to be a little old-fashioned, but it is extremely important because it's in Scripture. And another reason I think it's important to just spend some time in these simple verses this morning with some challenging truths is because our families are under attack. Like, I don't know if you've noticed, but like the family unit, families in general are just under attack. The destruction of the family is evident in our culture. We're constantly under attack. Like, the enemy wants nothing more than to see families fall apart. And when we've had a lot of blessings in America because it just kind of comes with where we're at. And I know it's different parts of the world, but for the most part, the family has had a history of healthiness, right? I mean, we were raised to think a certain way, and our culture in the past has been one of respect and honor, but it's under attack like it's never been in America. It's under attack. And so we've got to be aware of that. And there's books upon books about how the family should function and how things should operate within the family. But in these few words, literally, Paul gives us some very biblical, very sound advice on how the family should function. And if we can live into these things, it will change our families. It's also important because I don't think that these words simply apply to childhood. I've been thinking about that a lot this week. Where, when we read verses like, children, obey your parents, children, honor your parents, like, when does that need to stop? Right? And so it applies not only to the children in the room that are teenagers and younger and our children, but it applies to us who are now adults, who have aging children. And so there's still some application, there's still some relevance in it for all of us this morning. And I know, again, that when you walk into a conversation around father, son, mother, daughter, children, parents, relationships, a number of emotions come to you. And for many of you, depending on what your past has been like, if you've kind of been in an ideal scenario again, you've been in a family where the father loves and you got a good mother, this seems a little more natural for you to honor your parents, to respect your parents. But for many of you, that's not the case. For many of us, it may not be the case of how you were raised or the current circumstances that you're in. So you come to a text like this, and the first thought that comes to your mind may just simply be, I don't care. Like you don't know what it's like. You don't know what it was like growing up. You don't know how I was treated. You don't know what's going on with my children. My children are in a season of life, and I just don't care what God's Word says about this. Or I just don't care anymore, right? Like, I know I'm supposed to do certain things, and I know I'm supposed to live a certain way, but there's a lot of hurt there. There's a lot of baggage there. There's a lot of frustration there. And Adam, you don't know my circumstances, and I'm just in a season of life where I really don't care. I don't care what my parents think. I don't care what my wife thinks. I don't care. It's just so bad that I just don't care. But the reality is, you do. You do care. It's impossible not to care because God wired us that way. And when it comes to our family, when it comes to these relationships in our families, it's impossible not to care. You can tell yourself that all you want to, but at the end of the day, you do care. And when you think about the relationship with your father, when you think about the relationship with your children and what's been going on, and you can try to shut it off and tune it out all you want, but at the end of the day, we do care. We do care. And so learning to live into these realities and seeking out the grace of God in the midst of these things is so important because we've been wired to care. It's how God wired us. And so as a child today, as a teenager, you may sit there and have this a little bit of a sense of, you know, I'm just in a season of life where I don't really care. But the God who wired you to care speaks clearly in these verses about some things that should be true of our relationship. And if we choose to ignore them, we're ignoring some things that are detrimental to our health and to the relationships around us and to our future. So it's so important that when we don't just read these verses and move past them, that we listen to them, that we rest in them for a little while. Two simple words that we've heard and we know that we need to look at are obey and honor. Obey and honor. The scriptures, God's written word, has just given us two things that we're supposed to do. Like if you're a child today, these are commandments that God has given us, imperatives that He has given us that we're to strive to do, to obey and to honor our parents. What does it mean to obey? What does it mean to obey? Seems like we should know the answer to that, but let me just give you a simple definition. It means to hear under, literally is what that word means, and then to listen with attentiveness and to respond positively. So it's not just to listen and then to, you know, okay, I'll do what they say, but it's to listen and to be attentive, to come under the authority of your parents, and then to respond in a positive way. Now, you talk about ideal, right? That would be the ideal, but that's not always what we experience in our relationship, sometimes with our children or children's with their parents. But we're to obey. And kids, I know that right now you think, and maybe not now, but at some point in your journey, or maybe you have in the past, you think that you're the smartest person in your family, right? And we chuckle, but it's the truth, isn't it? Like, I lived there. I remember that. I remember waking up one day as a teenager thinking, I've got to be the smartest person in my family. I clearly know more than my parents. I've clearly got more figured out than us. Like, there's just something that triggers in us as kids, and we all go through it, where we think that our parents are ignorant and we've got it all figured out. If our parents would just listen to us and let us do what we want, live how we want, engage in the things we want, if they would, you know, take some of our advice on how they ought to live and how they ought to dress and where they ought to go and how they ought to, like, things would be wonderful. If he would just do more of this and she would do less of that, like, our relationship would be perfect. Would be ideal. And I know we live into that reality. I know that that's often how we feel. And again, I've been there. I've done that, right? We've all been there. But here in the Word of God, we're encouraged to obey our parents. And why is it such a big deal? Why is it such a big deal that you don't just have this attitude of, I don't care? Like, I don't care what my parents want. I don't care. Because that's often what the response that we get as parents and maybe perhaps the demeanor that we give and cause our parents to think about us, that we don't care. But why is it such a big deal? Well, let me give you a few reasons. One, when we obey the Lord, or when we obey our parents, it's pleasing to the Lord. Like, there's something you can do as a child to please the Father, our Heavenly Father, and that's to obey our parents. Colossians 3:20 says it very simply, children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. We ought to strive to obey because it pleases God. It pleases the Father when we obey. It's reflective. It's not only pleasing to the Father, but it's reflective of our obedience to the Lord. Like if we can't learn to submit to and be obedient to the commands of our parents, it would be very difficult when it comes to the commands and of Scripture and the Word of God. Like, that's part of our training. That's part of the way God grows our character. We learn to submit to our parents. We learn to listen to our parents. We learn to honor our parents. And then that translates into our relationship with our Heavenly Father. And here's what I know. I realize that some of you are in situations where you're not in the ideal situation again. Maybe your dad doesn't lead like he should. Maybe your mom's struggling with some things. And here's the reality. I realize parents are not perfect. But Scripture's told us that it's pleasing to the Father to obey God. I'm certainly not saying that we obey them to the point that we disobey Scripture. But in most cases, that's not the case, is it? But that we strive to obey Him because it pleases the Father. It's reflective of our obedience and our relationship to our Heavenly Father. And because it's right. It's just the right thing to do. He says that, doesn't he? Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for it's right. In the Lord, in that it reflects what your relationship to the Father looks like, the Heavenly Father, and also because it is right. It's just the right thing to do. Scripture has just said that there are some things that are right for children to do, and this is one of them. This is one of them. Who do you listen to? And all of us need to ask this question, not just children, but who do we listen to tell us what's right? Who are we listening to, and where are we looking to find out what's the right thing to do? And here's what I'm fully aware of, is that there are all kinds of influences in your life telling you what's right and what's wrong, more than ever. More than I ever had, more than your parents ever had. I mean, there's all kinds of influences in your life telling you what's right and what's wrong, telling you what your relationship with your parents ought to look like. I mean, the access to the internet and social media and so many other influences and culture and society are impacting our families in such a way that our kids have an ideal of even what their relationship with their parents ought to look like, and it's somewhat jacked up when you look into it. I mean, you got kids suing parents. You got kids wanting divorce from parents. You've got kids that don't want to respect and honor and obey their parents at all. They don't feel like they should have to. And it's amazing the influences out there for our kids. And whether it's online or YouTube or social media or whatever it may be, but you've got all these influences telling you what's right. And I get it. And I get you've got all these voices telling you, this is the way things ought to look. This is what's right for you. This is what your relationships ought to look like. And so then you've got mom and dad saying something really different at times. You've got your parents saying, no, this is the way we're going, what we ought to do. This is the things that we should do as a family. This is the way that we ought to conduct our lives. And you've got all of these other influences telling you, but here's what the Word of God says. It is right for you to obey your parents. It's right for you to obey your parents. And you can't just ignore that. God the Father, our Creator, has designed us in such a way, and He knows what's best for us. And He's given us our parents, given you your parents, as a way of spiritual protection and someone to care for you and to love you. And again, I know they're not perfect. But you've got to watch who you're listening to when it comes to what's right in your life. And the Word of God has said that it is right for us to obey our parents, to obey our parents. I know that many of you question at times when there's a difference in what you think is right and best and what they think is right and best, and you may question their motives or even their love for you. I did that. We've all done that, right? My mom can't love me. My parents must not love me if they're asking me to do these things, or they won't let me have any fun. They won't let me go here, do that, enjoy that. They're restricting my, you know, internet, all these things. But I want to remind you today, I know they tell you this, but let me just echo what they've told you. That their primary motivation in those moments is love. Like, they love you. And whether you feel it or know it or not, they want what's best for you. And again, they're not perfect. I'm not perfect. There is no perfect parent. There's just simply not a perfect parent. Some, yes, do better than others. I know some of you look around at your friends and your peers and you say, man, I wish I had her parents, right? Like, I'd like to trade lives with him. No curfew, no rules, cereal for dinner every night, sleep in every, you know, and all these things. You think, man, my life would be so much better if I just had their parents. But I promise you, these boundaries they've put in your life are there because they love you and they're trying to protect you. And they need grace, and they need your forgiveness, and they need your love, and they need, but they need your obedience as well. So learning to live into that is important because it's right and it's pleasing to God. It's the right thing to do. Then he says honor. So it's not just that we obey our parents, but we're to honor our parents, to hold in high value or in highest regard and respect. to hold up our parents in a position of respect and honor. So we don't just have to obey and walk around, you know, the frown on our face and, I have to. But we're supposed to honor our parents, to treat them with respect. Man, I don't know about you, but I feel like we live in a day when most kids struggle with respecting adults and certainly their parents. And I get it. I know there are a lot of parents that are not respectable. I get that. But the reality is we're supposed to respect the adults in our lives and certainly our parents. We've got to learn to grow in our respect. Kids, are you honoring your parents and how you respond to their instruction and care? I can't tell you how important this is and how foundational this is to much of life. You know, kids who grow up with a sense of respect for their parents will have a foundation of respect that's needed in all of life. Isn't that true? Like parents, we need to be the kind of parents that lead well enough that we're respectable, but we need to teach our children how to respect the adults in their life, their parents, and the people around them, the other adults. I hear from people on a regular, especially school teachers, of how kids just have no respect for authority, no respect for parents, no respect for adults whatsoever. And I wonder what they're seeing in their homes. Like we've been talking about this relationship between a husband and wife. Like it starts in our homes. Fathers, we're supposed to set the example. We're supposed to respect our wives. We're supposed to lead in this. We're supposed to be respectful of our wives and the women in our lives. We're supposed to set that example. They should see it in us first. Wives, we're supposed to respect and honor our husband. And if they don't see it in us, it's much less likely that they'll live into that reality for themselves. But we've got to teach them what it means to respect and to honor the people in their lives. It's foundational to all of life. But here's the question I asked earlier is, when does this stop? Like, when is it that we get to stop honoring our parents? When you move out of your home, I know the obedience thing changes a little bit because they no longer really tell you what to do. It's kind of strange, though. It's like they tell you what to do for 18 years, and you think they're crazy. You move out, you get on your own, then you think they might have a little bit of an idea how life ought to be. And then you start paying bills and looking for a spouse and education and jobs and raising kids. And you're like, man, my parents were brilliant. And then you start saying, like, tell me what to do. Like, I don't have a clue. And then you start looking for guidance from your parents. But it's difficult when it comes to what does it mean to continue to honor our parents? And here's what blows me away is every week, literally on a weekly basis, I have conversations with many of you who are now in a season of life where you're discovering what it means to honor your parents. You have parents who are aging. You have parents who are struggling, who are now in a season of life. So you've got this odd mixture. You've got kids that are maybe in the home or just out of the home, and you're struggling with that side of things. And you've got aging parents who now you're perhaps giving care to. You're having to figure out what it means to honor them and how to love them and how to respect them as they grow and age. I mean, it can be tough, right? There's pressure on both sides. Maybe your kids are coming to an age where they're moving out, and you're like, how, you know, did I do a good job? Like, I'd like to do this over again. Like, I made a lot of, like, gosh, I feel like I didn't get all the time I wanted. And then you turn the other direction, and then there's these needs of your parents. And literally, on a weekly basis, I'm hearing from many of you, I don't know what to do. I've got to make a decision. I've got to decide what to do for my parents or with my parents. And I'm so encouraged by many of you and your example of what it looks like to honor your parents as an adult. And I just want to encourage you this morning, kind of a different, kind of shifting gears in this passage a little differently and encourage you just a little bit, because I know that many of you are walking through it or you're about to walk through it. You see it coming. You can see your parents are just starting to slip a little bit, and you're about to have to walk through some hard decisions. Or you know a family that's walking through these situations. So let me give you just a little bit of encouragement. I'm encouraged this morning, and as the example we found in Christ, here's what I would say to you, is that caring and honoring your parents as an adult, when you do that, you're being like Christ. It's Christ-like to do that. In John, we could read this morning in John chapter 19, when Christ is on the cross, he only says a handful of things. Six or seven different things he says while he's on the cross. And what's that? Why is that such a big deal? Well, imagine the pain and the agony of the cross. I mean, he's literally dying. And as he's dying, he says several things, and all of them have significance. And one of the things he says is that he makes sure that his mother is cared for. From what we know, Jesus' father was not in the picture anymore. Joseph was not, probably had passed away, but he wasn't in the picture. And so here's his mother, and it was the responsibility of the son at that time to take care of the mother. And he knows he's about to die. And so what does he do? He looks in verse in chapter 19, he turns to a friend of his good friend John, and he says, when Jesus saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to his mother, woman, behold your son. Then he said to the disciple, behold your mother. Now, it wasn't his mother, but what he's saying in that moment is that from now on, like, I need you to care for my mother. I need you to, I'm not going to be here. I've cared for her, and I'm not going to be here any longer, and I need you to take care of my mother. And he speaks out for his mom in those moments. And it says, from that hour, the disciple took her into his own home. So Jesus made sure that his mother was cared for. And so when we care for our aging parents, we're being like Christ. Also, I want to look in 1 Timothy chapter 5 to give you a little more encouragement. 1 Timothy is a little different text, but it really is where they're talking about the care of widows and what the church is supposed to do and how the church is supposed to care for widows. But it says some things kind of indirectly to those who are caring for their parents. In verse 3 of 1 Timothy 5, it says, honor widows who are truly widows. But if a widow has children or grandchildren, let them first learn to show godliness. Listen to that. To show godliness to their own household and to make some return to their parents. Now, what's he saying there? He's saying, listen, when we care for our parents when they're aging, it's showing godliness. It's a godly thing for us to care and to strive to care for those for our parents. It's a Godward act. It's not just social welfare, okay? This is part of what God wants and is working in his people. And yes, there is the church's involvement in this passage, but he's reminding that those who do these kinds of things, that it's godly. So be encouraged in that. He says to make some, I love this phrase, and to make some return to their parents. Like, we're supposed to give some thought to all the care and love that our parents gave us. The thousands upon thousands of decisions and moments and that they gave care and love for us, we're to give some thought to that. We're to give some thought to that, and we're to repay that. We're to think about those things when it comes. Because I know it's hard. We're all busy. We've got jobs. We've got our own children. We've got things going on. But what he's reminding us is that a godly thing to do is for us to think about that. To think about all that they did for us, and as they're aging and making different and coming into a different season of life, that we repay that, that we love in return, that we serve. And I know it's hard because I, like you, are at times selfish, and it's difficult. And you've come to a season of life where you just want to be done. You want to rest. You've got the kids out of the house. You want to move on. It's time to vacation, and now you've got all this stuff going on. I watched my parents wrestle with this for years with my dad's mother. And now my mother's walking through it with her mother. It's difficult. They're in a season of life. They would like to be in Brazil all the time, but it's like they're constantly drawn back and having to care for their parents. But they do it out of love and out of honor and out of respect. And because for so many years, they did it great. And I've learned so much from my mother in this. My mother did not have an ideal home life. My mother's mother was not the ideal mother. It was a difficult, she had a very difficult childhood. I could tell you stories that would just, it's unbelievable, very difficult childhood. And if anyone deserved to just kind of go, you're on your own, it's her. And that's some of your stories. I get it. It's been hard. And now you're in a season where you feel like you're having to, and again, it's easy to say, I just don't care. But that's not true, is it? It's impossible to not care. And so be encouraged in that it's godly, it's being Christ-like, and it's pleasing in the sight of God. That's what he says next to their parents. For this is, verse 4, for this is pleasing in the sight of God. When we care for our parents, when we reach out and honor and care for those in need, the widows and the widowers in our lives, it is pleasing to God. We are told plainly, God delights in this. He's pleased when children care for their aging parents. The main issue here, again, is the heart of the child. Are we going to be selfish, or are we going to have a servant's heart? I've got friends in the room right now. I look around, I see them. I know right now they're walking through this. Let me just say to you, what an example you are. What an example. I mean, literally, I see you. I know right now you're walking through this. I don't even know how you're doing it. But I know that you're pleasing God, and you're such an encouragement to the people around you when you make the effort, take the time to care for your parents and honor them. If we make the effort, as difficult as it is, young and old, no matter what season of life you're in, when we make the effort, as difficult as it is, and again, your situation may be far less than ideal, far less than ideal. It's good and it's pleasing and right in the eyes of God. And therefore, here's what I know. His grace will be sufficient. Child, young and old, whatever your circumstances are, and I know, again, they may not be ideal. When you seek to do anything that pleases and is right in the eyes of God, He promises that His grace will be sufficient, that His Spirit will strengthen you. Can I just pray that for you this morning? I know some of you need strength to remain under, to continue to honor, to continue to obey. That's my prayer for you, that His Spirit would strengthen you. And according to this passage, there are promises. There are tangible blessings. He says that it will be, honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you. It may not feel like it's going very well. It may be the hardest season of your life. But there are promises in Scripture there. And I don't even know what all that looks like in your circumstances. But He promises that it will go well with you if you continue to honor and love and respect and obey your parents. His grace is sufficient. All right. Let me pray for us this morning. Again, I don't know what your situation may be like. I don't know how ideal it is. It may be extremely ideal, but it may have its own challenges. It may be the most challenging season of your life. If you're a teenager here today and maybe you're just struggling to submit to and listen to and honor your parents, man, I pray that today you'd have a renewed sense of willingness to be a child who would obey and honor their parents. Parents, I want us to be the kind of parents that honestly are leading well. Let's lead well. Let's be parents that are respectable. Let's do the kinds of things, let's set the kind of examples that our kids see that we love them. I encouraged you weeks ago, you know, look at your wife and spouse, tell them you love them. Do that to your children. Tell them you love them. Show that you love them. Be a good father. Be a good mother. And children, let's respond in obedience to Scripture and obey our parents. For those who are walking through that season, I'm going to pray for you, where you're at a season where you're trying to learn what it means to honor your aging parents. I want to pray for us this morning and ask for a sense of strength in your life. Father, we thank you. God, we thank you for your word. And it's easy to read these things and just go, yeah, 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 I get it. I know we're supposed to do this. But the reality is that it is your desire for our lives that we live into these relationships in a way that honors you. And there's all kinds of emotions and thoughts that surround these relationships, but God, we've been told to obey our parents and to honor our parents. And no matter what season of life we're in, God, I pray that these things would be true of us. God, I pray that your grace would be sufficient for those who are walking through it and having a difficult time. I mean, they're just struggling. They're having, it's just exhausting. I pray that your grace and your strength would be sufficient. Give them a strength that they do not have, an energy and a peace that they do not possess apart from the Spirit of God doing something in them. God, help us to be parents who will lead well. God, help our children, protect our homes. God, there's so many influences, so many things that are creeping into the lives of our children and influencing them in ways that are just unthinkable. God, I pray you protect our families, protect our homes. Help us to raise children that will love and to honor and respect. Help us to grow in what it means to obey you, and as we set the example of obedience to our kids, and they would see it in us and long to be like that. God, we're going to fall short. We're not perfect. So we just simply pray for the grace of God to be realized in our lives, that we would experience the blessings that you promise when we strive to live a life that honors you and pleases you. Encourages us today, God, in our hardship, that when we do these things, we are acting in a Godward way. And may your blessings be upon us as we strive to do these things. We ask it in Jesus' name and for your glory. Amen. Guys, thank you. Again, I know lots of you have different things going on in your life. Any way we can help serve you, we'd love to do that. I stick around. Elders, stick around. I would love to talk with you, meet you. If you're a guest, thanks for being here. Hope to see you again. But God bless you. Have a great week. I'll see you in a couple of weeks when I'm back from Brazil.